If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
By the way, I didn't mean to single out the 708. Another texter said, stop calling your kid a child, or your child a kid. What have I missed on the... I didn't take a parental class. Maybe that was day one of the parenting class. Make sure you refer to your child as a child or your son. Why can't I call them a kid? Okay. We'll table that for now. I feel like some people might have some thoughts about that. I'm open to suggestions or wondering why I'm wrong doing that, but maybe it's just an old way of doing things. All right, Connell McShane, he doesn't have to weigh in on that. And you're at News Nation from 2 to 5 p.m. Central. Connell, you any thoughts?
I've called my kids worse. No, the... some people get worked up about that because they said, it's like a kid goat instead of, as opposed to a child, human person.
Wait, that's what the 847 just said. I totally agree. No, goats have some kids.
That's what people say. Some people say. I mean, I got other problems with my children rather than that. But that, I've heard that before. Some people do get worked up about that.
I don't point to him and say, hey, kid.
Right.
Clean your own diaper. I'm a loving.
I call. Well, it's too informal, and you know that's really you're talking about a goat when you talk about a kid, and they say if it's a human, you should say child. So, I don't know.
Okay,
you want to get work?
You want to do
I'm
seven?
I'm going to go crazy about it.
You want to do seven more minutes on that, Connell, or should we talk about the more important things?
You're the guy today, so whatever you want.
I appreciate you joining us. It's been a great week, mostly on the market so far, and. We talk on Your Money Matters, the show I host here Monday through Thursdays at 6, about just how we used to always follow whatever the Fed chair said, every word they said, that would move markets. And now really it's President Trump, the decisions of the morning or whatever comes out of whether he's going to fire the Fed chair or wants to fire it. It moves markets so much, or just adjustments to the tariff policies that have been announced, retractions. I mean, the markets and really all of us just kind of waiting to see, but I don't know how long the markets are going to be okay with that.
Well, I mean, I don't think they're okay with it now. It's just they don't have a choice. The investors that control the price at least don't have a choice but to react to whatever the president's doing. The broader, stock market, to your point, is bouncing back nicely this week. It's up like 3.5%, between 3.5% and 4%, the S&P 500, but it's still down almost 7% for the year. And, that's a lot of the tariff stuff that's been in the market. And even more than that, if you measure it from when he started talking about tariffs, because it actually started off January pretty strong. So, the thing that really shook up the president, I think, in recent days is when a bunch of these retail CEOs that run big companies, Walmart, Target, and the like, they came to the White House and said something to the effect from our reporting of, listen, Mr. President, you got to do something on China. I know you're worried about and trying to cut deals with other countries, but if you keep these tariffs in place, which basically freezes trade with China, 145% versus 125%, we're going to be looking at some either very, very high prices or empty store shelves in the next few weeks. So then right away you saw the president pull back. He says, I'm going to be, quote, nice to China. He stopped threatening to fire the Fed chairman, which you were talking about. So it seemed like those CEOs really got to him.
Yeah, but I mean, wasn't that as about as foreseeable as anything when you talk about 104? Yeah. I mean, that you could have seen that writing on the wall 2 weeks before you made that announcement.
You would think. I mean, that's been this president, especially, and it depends who he's talking to at the moment, but I think he really has had this idea in his head for a very long time. He thinks it's a good one. This is what he believes in for 30, 40 years, and he believes, I think, from observing him at least, that he got talked out of it the last time around from going as steep as he wanted to. He really believes that these tariffs are going to be effective long term. So it's been harder to pull him back. But a couple times we've seen that. I think in terms of looking at it from a market perspective, economic perspective, Wall Street perspective, I think people are encouraged a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit in the last couple of weeks to see less of the president's trade advisor, Peter Navarro, more of his Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, because there's more trust in how Bessent handles this if he has the president's ear. But we'll see. My concern, I think, from looking at this and reporting on markets for so long and financial matters, is that you wonder how much damage has been done already. Like, even if you, just in terms, because we got three more years, of the president, three plus, and from a trust perspective, you wonder how much damage has been permanently done, where, you know, people in the financial markets just won't trust what's coming out of the White House, no matter what happens.
Right. I mean, he said in the past, when he announced these tariffs, that there would be short-term pain to go through, which, yeah, if this ever is going to work to bring more manufacturing, will obviously take more time. And but it seems like anytime he's brought to the precipice, with whether it's retail CTO, CEOs, or when the treasuries spiked and the dollar sank, he pulled back. I mean, it almost seems like he, you know, he's a man of conviction, right? He usually goes with his gut and goes with it strongly. I'm just surprised that if he really does believe short-term pain is what's needed here, why doesn't he know what the guardrail? Why are there guardrails, right? He should be going full throttle if that's what he truly believes needs to happen.
Well, I mean, it just depends on how painful it can be. I mean, sometimes, I mean, if you think an option, you know, of the market completely falling apart, it reminds you of going through what we went through in 08, not comparing this to that. But when people say, well, you can't come in and quote unquote bail out these banks, and, you know, nobody wants to bail out the banks necessarily. I don't even think that I really don't believe that, like, Ben Bernanke and all the people that were doing it necessarily wanted to do it. They felt like if they didn't, the whole thing was going to fall apart. You know, they understood that those are the people that got us in trouble, but they also understood that regular people would get hurt by the economy effectively not working right. Like, the bond market doesn't function. People can't borrow money. Companies can't make payments to their employees. And the whole system that we've built just doesn't work for a certain amount of time. And that's not only recession, that's depression territory. So sometimes you make choices because you do things because you don't feel like they are choices. And I think it's at a certain point, the president was convinced here, even though he does believe strongly in the policy, that it was more than a little short term pain, that he would, you know, he's going to have to pull back and try a different route here. I don't think he's going to give up on tariffs completely, but just going as strong as he has, I think it seems like he's realizing that might be too much too soon, you know, for everybody involved. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, I think it just goes to show that at the end of the day, we're still a democracy and the midterm election is, you know, still a bit away, but it's coming quick, right? Like, there are political ramifications to economic decisions that have to end up being guardrails for presidents, even lame duck presidents.
Well, he's underwater on the economy, which he's never been, meaning that there's more people disapproving than approving of his work on the economy. And even when President Trump, who's always been a controversial figure, we always say he has that, the high, low ceiling and the high floor, however you want to put it in terms of his approval ratings, he's never going to go down that much because he has a very, very strong base of enthusiastic supporters, but he's never going to be, you know, 70-80% approval no matter what. He could cure cancer and that won't be the case. So that's the type of politician he is. He's a market term. He trades in a range, right? But he's always had positive ratings, relatively speaking, on the economy. It's always been a strong issue, even when he struggled with other issues, but not now. I mean, I saw something where his approval on the economy was in the high 30s. I mean, that's a bad number for anyone, but especially for Trump, because that's what he's known for. So, yeah, you're right. He's already paying the price for this. And, you know, one of the things that he did differently in the second term is he reversed the order. Remember, the first term he was pro-growth, cutting taxes, that type of stuff first, and then he got into the back and forth with trade, never as aggressively as he has this time, but he got into it, especially with China. This time, the other way around. He hasn't been able to get anything through the Congress yet, so he's doing what he can himself, and that's been the tariffs first, whereas he hasn't gotten anything that people would see as pro-growth on tax policy. So I think the order matters also.
Not to pile on, but I saw some polling showing him underwater on immigration, which is unheard of, and you just wonder if these headlines about due process and the arguments from the Supreme Court are weighing down what is generally a very popular thing, deportations and mass ones. Agree or disagree, the public seems to like them, and it seems like they're being hoisted by their own problems that they're kind of, I don't want to say self-imposing, but they're really getting stuck on a couple individual cases that are kind of bringing down their wider argument, Connell.
No, I mean, self-imposing is true. I mean, that's what's happened on the economy. No doubt this has been self-imposed with the tariffs. And to your point, I think that's fair on immigration as well. I mean, I'm a little surprised by that. I did see the same poll. I think it was The Economist. Other polls have it pretty much even. But again, not as great as it has been in the past for Trump, given that his numbers, you know, encounters on the southern border and the like are terrific and something he can point to as a success. So, I think some of that you know, maybe, you know, people want, at the end of the day, even if they, like you say, agree or disagree, I think a lot of people want to see you follow the law, that laws are there for a reason. So there is a possibility that he's taken a little bit of a hit on that. That said, he clearly, he likes that issue. He wants to have that fight. And, you know, I'm a little, like I said, I thought politically, at least, forget about the legal side of it, I thought he was going to maybe gain ground politically, but doesn't seem like that's happening.
Right. Well, I think the argument that he's trying to make is you're really going to go and visit an MS-13 gang member.
Right.
That's what his argument is.
Yep.
And that would shift away from tariffs from the economy. And it seems like the more that's in the news and the more the due process argument's built up, it's not gaining him ground. He may not be losing a ton of ground on it, but maybe some. It's surprising.
Yeah, no, I was surprised by that too. I was really, as we talked about it a lot on our show, in pointing out that the president was really kind of picking that fight because it's one he thought he could win, and he obviously is with some people, but to your point, maybe not with everybody.
Right. And just one note, of course, there's been many people spelling the demise of the Trump administration for years and years and years, and Donald Trump, and the numbers go down, and he's found ways to still win politically. So
because he has that strong base. He's never going to go down too much because he has a very, very strong base of support.
All right, we'll continue to follow it with you. And thanks, kid. I appreciate it. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks, Kyle.
That's good. All right, John. Thanks a lot.